Well, we're going to get started. I'd like to welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us, and we have Peter Limbs and Mary Zirkle today. Hi, Peter.
Great. Thanks, Tay. My name's Peter Limbs. I'm the Program Director for Education and Advocacy on Iraq and Afghanistan, and I'm usually based in our office in Philadelphia, but talking to you from Washington, D.C. this evening, where I'm just getting back from a congressional briefing that we were part of on civil society perspectives in Afghanistan, and getting ready for an opening tomorrow evening of our traveling mural exhibit called Windows and Mirrors. The call today is part of a series that we offer our supporters and donors as a chance to learn more about our work, speaking directly to those who are on the front lines. For those of you who may be new to AFSC, we are a Quaker organization that has been working since 1917 for a world in which all people can live in peace. And, most importantly, we understand that peace requires much more than the absence of war and violence. When we work for peace, we need to be ready to work for social justice and economic conditions that are necessary to sustain peace in this world. Joining me this evening is my colleague Mary Zirkle in our Chicago office, and we're going to share some information on a variety of programs and events and resources that we co-collaborate and co-lead within some of the new ways that AFSC is working together. So I'm very excited that both of us get a chance to share what we're doing. We'll touch on legacies of war in Iraq and what the next steps there may be, as well as our efforts to end the war in Afghanistan. In particular, it will be wrapped around an exciting Move the Money campaign where we're urging our constituents and our supporters and our coalition partners to focus on the federal budget and reprioritize the country's current spending. So welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Peter. Well, as folks may or may not know, through our work on Iraq and Afghanistan, we've focused on the costs of the war, both the human and economic costs, through lots of the projects that we've done. That was a little part of our exhibit, Eyes Wide Open, that traveled the whole country. And then after our Eyes Wide Open, we did a whole specific project on the Iraq War called Cost of War Project that highlighted the $720 million a day that we, at that point, we were spending on the war in Iraq, and asking what could we be spending that money on instead, and looking at the trade-offs, you know, the number of elementary school teachers, the number of, health care for children we could be buying with that money instead. And then as we moved into really focusing on the war, ending the war in Afghanistan, we continued to highlight those economic costs. Every tax day, AFSC has often been one of the only groups out there protesting the amount of money that goes to the military out of our federal budget. But all of the groundwork that we've laid has really paid off, because this is definitely a hot topic in this moment. For instance, this year in tax day in Chicago, it's going to be huge. They said in many years past, it would be just us, the Quakers, AFSC, and maybe a couple of volunteers. But this year, there's going to be tons of groups out on the streets on tax day protesting how our money is being spent out of the federal budget. So we really are in a great moment to highlight these issues, and we've got a ton of program work going on looking at that. I don't know, Peter, where do you think I should start?
An element of that. So we do a lot of the work in coalitions, moving the money, and we're reaching out to new communities and working with existing partners. And one of the elements of our message that I think allows us to have a more diverse community of partners is that we also say not just that we should not spend the money on war in Iraq or in Afghanistan, and that the money should be invested here, but that also the way we spend money in Iraq and invest and Afghanistan should be used to be supporting development and diplomacy versus going wars. And that was an issue that was raised this afternoon at the briefing that I was part of in Washington, and I was kind of struck that this was sponsored by Congressman Jim McDermott and Congressman Garamadi from California. And Jim McDermott had sort of started his remarks saying how important it was that we were providing a forum where Afghan civil society perspectives were being presented, but also the fact that we were able to have a unique Skype connection with some of the Afghan filmmakers that we are featuring as a new component of our traveling exhibit, Windows and Mirrors. And so what he said that I found interesting is that there's not enough talk in Washington about the war, and when Congress does get together to talk about it, all we do is pass bills for more money for fighting.
Mm.
And so I think the need to also be saying we strongly believe that if there's going to be regional solutions to these crises, that we need to strengthen our capacity as a country to pursue those important diplomatic alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's such a good point. I think that's really an aspect that AFSC really brings to the table that other groups around the country appreciate and aren't necessarily bringing forward. I think it's an important role that we play in the national coalitions of folks that are coming together around these issues. One network that I might mention is it's called the New Priorities Network, and it started about 2 years ago, and it's a group of faith groups, community groups, labor unions, peace groups, and economic and racial justice groups that have come together around the issue of military spending in particular in the federal budget, and really trying to say, for many reasons, the amount of money that we spend on the military out of our federal discretionary budget is crazy, and it can be used in much better ways. And, you know, initially, the folks around the table at the first meeting, you know, all we were trying to do was get our messaging on the same page so that the peace groups were saying, you know, because the peace groups have fought military spending for many years, but maybe the peace groups needed to say as well, okay, cut the military budget, but we also want to increase spending on human needs. And then the economic justice groups really needed to push themselves to say, not only because they were fighting really hard to increase spending on healthcare and education and all the important programs that we need, but they needed to say, you know what, a solution to getting to having the money to spend on these things would be to cut the military budget. So the first year that these groups came together, it was just sort of like agreeing on our messaging. But the work has moved so quickly that we're really at a point right now, you know, moving into this incredible election year where there are all these opportunities to talk about the federal budget. We had the crazy super committee deficit deal happening last year. There's been so many opportunities to bring up these issues, and folks have really coalesced around, I would say, a solid 4 points, which is that, you know, we want to decrease the military budget, and we can make huge cuts in it, and we wouldn't even miss it. And that's a place where we can really find some money. But in addition to that, we want to increase revenues through, you know, raising taxes on the wealthy and corporations. We want to increase spending on human needs, on programs that people really need to survive, and spend money on job creation. And those are 4 points that everybody's really coalesced around now. And it really, the thing that's exciting about it, I think, is that people who haven't ordinarily worked together on these issues are really coming together. And across the country, the strategy that AFSC and many other groups who are at this table, including FCNL, including the Coalition on Human Needs, including a couple different labor unions, National Priorities Project, you know, many groups that AFSC has worked with both on the economic justice side and on the peace side for many years are part of this grouping of people and the strategy that we're all using at our affiliates across the country and our local staff is pursuing getting folks who typically work on economic justice in the same room with folks who typically work on anti-war or peace issues and saying, look, there's really a common area where we can, if we get together, we can really make some movement here. And so people are proposing resolutions, city and state resolutions around the country that are calling to bring the war dollars home, that are being very specific about, cutting the military budget as a solution to the deficit, which people are upset about, and are holding town hall meetings and other programs together to really put the pressure on. So I think it's a pretty exciting time. And one resource that I want to mention is that AFSC put together a Move the Money Toolkit, which is available on our website. If you just go into the AFSC website, it's afsc.org, and in the search field, if you type Move the Money Toolkit, you'll find it. And it has, sections on how to talk to Congress, how to alert the media, how to organize some creative actions, all kinds of stuff like that, and then some really good fact sheets on the four areas that I highlighted. Why do we want to cut the military budget? What are the facts around that? Why do we want to raise taxes on corporations and the wealthy? Why do we think increasing spending on human needs and on job creation would be helpful in this time period? So I hope people will take a look for that. I think it's really a good resource.
It's an excellent resource. And I also would be interested to hear more. One of the communities we're also working with around the impact of the federal budget are youth in different cities. And so we're going to be having the Youth Festival here in Washington in April. Can you share with us some of the highlights maybe from last year's effort and why we decided to expand our effort this year?
Sure. This is the second year in a row we're having the If I Had $1 Trillion Youth Video Festival. And we started it last year because we thought, youth are really disproportionately affected by these federal budget issues, and they don't know about it, they don't talk about it, they don't really have a voice in the discussion. So let's try to do this video contest. Youth might be interested in it. We'll get a curriculum together and see what kind of response we look at. And last year, I think 48 entries from across the country, fantastic, creative, interesting work where youth really talked about what they would rather spend the $1 trillion that have been spent on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan on in their communities instead, what would benefit their communities. And it really ran the gamut from, in post-Katrina New Orleans, youth saying we needed better police presence in that community and other communities, many communities, including Chicago. The issue was schools and books that were falling apart and buildings that were unsafe for children to be in. I think, other folks highlighted just a ton of different things, job creation, healthcare, really interesting work from all over the country. And we had the winners come to D.C. with us last February, and had a public event at Bus Boys and Poets, did two congressional briefings with the young people. Were so amazing how they kind of just blossomed through the day, and it was so empowering for them to be able to speak on Capitol Hill to these issues. And so we just were so excited by how great, what a great experience it was for the youth that we definitely wanted to repeat it and try to bring more young people to D.C. on these issues. And so we've just chosen our 2012 festival. The folks curated into the 2012 festival. And this is another thing, if you want to either look on our channel on YouTube, which is IHTD Videos, and you can see this year's winners, or you can go to the AFSC website again and just Google If I Had $1 Trillion, or not Google, search If I Had $1 Trillion in the AFSC search field, and it'll come up. And you can see this year's winning videos, which are fantastic. We put in a new rule this year that you had to use original music, so some of the young people did that really well. But we're going to take, I haven't even gotten the final numbers, but hopefully close to 30 young people from around the country, many of whom work with AFSC programs. This year we're adding a whole day-long leadership training aspect, and we'll be working with Friends Committee on National Legislation to do lobby training. We will also, again, do a congressional briefing, do a bunch of visits, lobby visits, and then again a great fun event at Bus Boys and Poets premiering the films. And then the films will be part of a toolkit that's going to be, used around the country as part of this Move the Money effort. So it's a great program and great way to get young voices and young people to think about these issues in their communities.
Excellent. I want to pause a second and see. I don't, Tara, do you have a format for questions? Or?
Sure. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and unmute everyone. And again, this call is being recorded for worldwide sharing. And if you have any questions.
The conference has been unmuted.
If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. State your name if you like and ask away. Guess no questions thus far.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe I'd look on the website really quickly, or on email from the questions that you had online.
Well, I have a question, Mary.
Okay.
How is it that AFSC and FCNL and organizations that are similar-minded work together in collaborating their efforts towards a common goal?
Well, we, you know, as I mentioned, I think we complement each other well. I mean, they're completely focused on legislation, and we really rely on them a lot, although we have also fantastic staff in Washington, D.C., who attend meetings in coalition with FCNL, Budget Priorities Working Group, and keep the rest of us staff who are outside of D.C., informed about legislation that's coming up and opportunities and strategies and that kind of thing. And, you know, I think actually we participate as partners with FCNL in this new priorities network that I mentioned earlier. And, you know, they've been super wonderful and supportive with the youth program that I mentioned. So those are just a few of the ways. I think also stuff like the coming up around Tax Day is a global day of action on military spending, and we'll participate with FCNL and trying to organize those activities as well. I know, Peter, there's a lot of ways that we interact with them around Iraq and Afghanistan-specific work as well. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I think in some ways, the institutional link, I think, is based on the expertise that they have as an organization that's focused on Washington and on policy, and that's just tremendously helpful. But in some ways, I think we interact more frequently through the coordinated efforts through different friends meetings. I know the meeting I go to, we meet once a year to choose the five priorities that we as a meeting want to request FCNL satisfy with their annual gathering. And I think that those same meetings also pick up the mobilization and the community education and the community outreach work that we're doing. So in some ways, I think the richest example of how the organizations work together is when we have dynamic campaigns coming out of friends meetings that are a mixture of AFSC and FCNL priorities. I think we see eye to eye on almost everything. We just have different focus, and each of us, I think, we complement ourselves well by being able to be on that same path and to have the same foundation from how we look at the change that's needed.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent way to put it.
Question?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Barbara Thomas. I'm with Baltimore Yearly Meeting and AFSC Corporation. Peter, could you say more about the briefing today by Congressman Garamendi and Jim McDermott and how AFSC interacted with that, who else was there, what they're hoping to make happen?
Oh, sure. Well, the briefing, they sponsored the briefing, the bulk of the afternoon was around the work of these young Afghan filmmakers and a group called Community Support Film, and then AFSC, and I was with the resource person for AFSC, and Lisa Shirk was the resource person for 3P Security that does a lot of work here in Washington, and she teaches at Eastern Mennonite University and is part of the faculty that does their STAR program, where they run a peace-building institute each summer for people from around the world. And so Iraqis come to it, and Afghans, and from Kenya, from all over the world. It's just, it's like an extraordinarily interesting project. And so we were the content drivers. And the comments from Congressman McGovern were really sort of a challenge in a way for us to put forward the realities of what Afghan civil society is calling for to members of Congress. Congressman Jaramandi actually sent his chief of staff, Chick, who used to be the director of the Alliance for Peacebuilding, so he's a very big friend of the NGO community and very, very active in peacebuilding and conflict resolution. And his comments were that his boss, Congressman Garamaldi, was absolutely committed to this and was wanting us to find ways to put more pressure on them to help move the debate in Congress forward. There were a lot of sort of U.S. Institute of Peace staff and other organizations like that in D.C., and a lot of congressional staffers as well, who kind of hung out for at least 20 minutes after this two-hour briefing finished to kind of ask more questions and get email addresses and urging us to stay in touch with them. I think what we kind of brought, which was a little different, we as AFSC and kind of what AFSC, you know, represents as part of a larger peace movement in the United States, was probably the strongest voice in the briefing that called attention to the role of the U.S. military and the need to address U.S. policy to challenge militarism and to be looking at the example of Iraq and the need for accountability as sort of a very important concept that needs to be front and center for all the discussions taking place on Afghanistan right now. So they were, and it sounds as though you're pretty familiar with both of the representatives. In particular, Congressman McGovern has been like a great friend to the space, the social justice movement across the board in the United States, and he's been a very outspoken critic of the wars of 9/11, and has really been a pioneer in reaching out to Walter Jones, who's a Republican, and putting forward bipartisan legislation to change U.S. policy. So he was, I felt kind of thrilled to hear him, make a request of us, because I think we make a lot of requests of him and always expect him to be with us when we have ideas, and now I think he's given us a bit of a challenge to step up.
What was the challenge?
Well, I think the challenge is that is to infuse the message of Afghan civil society perspective into the broader peace movement in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we may not like this fact, but there's a big chunk of the American public who wants to simply pull out all of the U.S. troops and a pox on everybody in Afghanistan. And I think by putting forward the tremendous needs that Afghans have, Congressman McGovern, both congressmen are recognizing that we cannot abandon the Afghan people, and we have to find better ways to, you know, to help them create a better future themselves. So I felt pretty inspired. I don't know if that sounds inspired, but I don't get down to Washington very often, so it's always a bit of a thrill to go into one of those committee briefing rooms and all of the support that they have and just all of the milieu of the large congressional office buildings are just really exciting. And one of the things that you're really struck by, certainly I was today, is how many people you see in those corridors who are in military uniform. I forget this, that when you live in Philadelphia or you live somewhere else, you know, we don't feel the war very much. And I think when you come to the halls of Congress, I just forget how ever-present the military is at every corner. And you really do get a sense when you're looking at who's calling the shots and who has the influence, who has the power. It's not the faith-based groups, but it's this overwhelming influence that the military has.
Right.
And you just can't go in and out of these buildings without seeing it.
Are there any other questions?
I have one quick one for Peter, if I might. I just wondered, you know, having been there today and, you know, having discussions with folks, if there's any talk about, more tries at trying to get a concrete withdrawal date. I'd heard some analysis after the, you know, demonstrations against the U.S. and NATO over the last couple of days over the burning, disposing of the Qurans incorrectly, that maybe there might be some movement toward more a quicker withdrawal date. I don't know. Have you heard anything?
Actually, not from the congressman, but some of the discussions with the non-governmental organization lobbyists who are in Washington felt that it was really important for us as a community to give a lot of support to kind of trial balloons that are being floated. The example that was given to me was that, last month, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta had said that we are rethinking the timeline to leave Afghanistan, and that he put forward the idea of removing all combat troops by the end of next year, which is basically a year earlier than had previously been stated by the U.S. and NATO. And we sent out an action alert about that and affirmed it and said this is important. And, in fact, it was a letter that Congressman McGovern had penned. But there was a lot of talk that's kind of a risky position in some ways during an election year, and that we should be saying that's fantastic, we want it even faster, but that's great that you're thinking along those lines. The point that I was making, and all I can say is that there were a lot of heads nodding, is that one of the successes of what happened in Iraq has to be the acknowledgement that it was very important to have a withdrawal date, that we can't keep sort of functioning on the system where the U.S. would say, well, we'll stand down when the Iraqis stand up, or, you know, we'll stand down when the Afghans stand up. Because, you know, if you are always making judgments based upon facts on the ground, there's always a reason to keep military troops, because they just, they're a magnet for violence, and so there'll always be violence. And I think that what is really necessary is that in order for a successful effort at a grand bargain that includes the regional states, that includes all of the armed actors in Afghanistan, that includes Afghan civil society and the government and the refugees and the internally displaced, that starts to bring together all these communities, I think the foundation that gets built on is a commitment by the foreign armies that they will leave by a particular date, and that they will commit to provide services or expertise in certain fields, but it will no longer be a war or a military mission. And I just think that resonates. And that's our challenge, is to get the U.S. to make a commitment to a date, because right now there is no date for the withdrawal of U.S. military operations in Afghanistan. And most people feel that it's built out to at least 2024, which is what the current president, Hamid Karzai, has asked for.
Wow. That's a long time from now.
Yes. Are there any other questions?
Yes. I was invited to join this call on a donor call basis. My name is Rob Achyutan, and I am from Peconic Bay Quaker meeting of New York Yearly Meeting on Long Island. I want to raise an issue which is slightly different and which addresses fundamental contradictions in the way in which we manage our affairs. And with regard to that, there's a piece of legislation at Washington, D.C. right now. It's called House Resolution 2990 by Kucinich and Conyers, called the NEED Bill. NEED standing for National Emergency Employment and Defense Act. Does the AFSC support that? Do you have a position on that? The function of the bill mainly is to look at the whole manner in which war is controlled by the people. And the bill strives to transfer money power to the people where it ought to be, in which case you could generally do the kinds of things that the people want to do, and other not stand around and beg others to allow us to do what we want to do. So I think we spend most of our time on secondary contradictions of that type, because we don't have money power. If we were to have money power, we could handle it ourselves from a human viewpoint. And the bill tries to do that. Is the AFSC in any way related to that bill? Has it looked at it? Would it look at it in the future?
Thank you so much for being on the call and raising it with us. I've heard a little bit about it. I generally rely on our colleagues in the Washington office for analysis on this stuff, but I've heard a little bit about it, and it looks really good to me, and I'm sure we will be looking at it in the future. I don't know, Peter, if you have more concrete information.
We are meeting some of the staff here with FCNL folks tomorrow. So.
Oh, good.
So I'll definitely raise it. I'm not familiar with it, and I'm generally kind of like Mary, don't follow legislation that closely. We tend to be sort of a step back, but I think in many ways what sort of all of the energy around, the energy around the Arab Spring and the energy about Occupy in the United States has really brought sort of these issues that Kucinich and Conyers have often been raising over the years, and that's the need to change the system. And I think my personal feelings are that we're really beginning to emerge with a lot of energy from what's really been a lost decade following 9/11. I think the wars and the resentment and the hatred and the stereotypes consumed us. And I think people are really saying enough is enough. And I feel as though there's some hope. And granted, I understand the reality that Congress is gridlocked on everything and they can't pass any bills. Like, they only pass one bill a year nowadays, and that's to fund the federal government. So I understand that Congress is gridlocked and there isn't sort of a silver lining on that fact. But I think as an educational tool and as a way to talk about members of Congress who are putting forward ideas that start to address the changes needed in the system, I think that's going to be the answer for the next couple of years.
I think we can definitely say that we'll raise this with our Washington staff and look into it. And those are two members of Congress that we often agree with and often really appreciate the ideas that they put forward that are, really trying to change the framework and the paradigm that we're operating within.
I might add that the Northeast Ohio American Friends Service Committee has endorsed this bill, H.R. 2990.
That would be our good colleague, Greg Coleridge.
He's a good man.
Yes, indeed.
That's fantastic.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for raising the issue with us.
Anyone else?
Hey, if I might I don't know if we're getting close to closing out, but I just wanted to mention a couple of things to folks before we do.
Definitely. Please.
One would be that we would really love to have you, if you are not already part of our Wage Peace email action alert system. Peter and I write those on supporting legislation, on, you know, if there are nationwide actions that we've developed resources for, as we will with Tax Day and Global Day of Action Against Military Spending, stuff like that. We try not to make them superfluous. We really, we use it judiciously, and we make sure that when you do get an alert from us, there's, you know, it's pithy, there's something good to do. So I really hope that if you're not a member already, you'll go to the AFSC website and look under our Afghanistan page, and you can sign up for the Wage Peace listserv there. I also want to mention that Peter is the author of a really fantastic blog called Afghanistan 101 that really is a fantastic resource blog, highlights other projects around the world, and analysis on Afghanistan. I think you'll really enjoy that as well. So you can look for, if you just Google Afghanistan 101, you can subscribe to that. Or if you are a Facebook person, you can go to the Wage Peace, AFSC Wage Peace Facebook page, and Peter's blog automatically goes to that news feed. And if you like us, we would really appreciate it, because we're very close to getting our 1,000 likes. And so that's a great way for us to stay in touch with people, too. So, yeah, hopefully we can stay in touch and keep working on all of this together.
Thank you, Mary. Are there any other questions before we go? Okay. Peter, one last thing before we do wind up here. Could you just explain a little bit more about the opening in Washington?
Sure. The Windows in here is a large traveling mural exhibit that was launched actually in Philadelphia in October of 2010. Our thinking behind this exhibit was that we realized that so many people in this country had grave questions about the war in Afghanistan, but that, you know, that the drone of war had gone on for so long that we felt as though we didn't have the right tool to reach people. And so we thought, if we pulled together these large murals, and they're 4 foot by 6 foot, done by professional muralists around the world, if we pulled together something like that, that could be a powerful visual representation of the cost of war, that it might allow us to reach into new communities. And so as this exhibit has toured around the country, and it's been, it was at Queens College in New York, and it's been in LA, and it's been in, it's been at Guilford College in North Carolina, and it's been in Indianapolis and Chicago, and at the Northern California Islamic Center outside San Francisco, and in Pittsburgh and in Kansas City. It's touring everywhere, and our goal is to tour it for the next year and a half. What we have found is that by sort of the appeal of an art exhibit that starts to look at the cost of war is pulling in larger communities than I believe we would have been able to pull in with the speaking tour alone, or with the evening presentations or films, or even even sort of lectures. And so it's been something that's been just thrilling to be a part of. We keep adding pieces, and so as I mentioned earlier, one piece of this exhibit is now going to include these short Afghan short documentaries done by Afghan filmmakers. And we also have a whole component of the exhibit that are really ink sketches from high school students in Kabul that was collected last summer, both boys and girls. And so we just have a huge hodgepodge of powerful images that some are hopeful, some are graphic, some are despairing, but they really conjure up all of the emotions and hopes and fears and pain of war. And so it opens in Washington tomorrow night, and it's going to be at a brand new United Church of Christ. That's 935 G Street, if you happen to be in D.C. The reception starts at 6, and then the presentations will be from 7 to 8. We'll have one of the muralists will be giving a talk, as well as myself, and two local D.C. poets to also add some culture. And so it's just been sort of a great project. We get write-ups in every city it's gone to in the arts page, because people generally don't talk about the war in Afghanistan in the arts page. And so I think some of the best profiles we've had in the last year about our particular message and the efforts we're making have come in various art sections of newspapers, and I think actually it's probably better than a small mention in the Metro section. So that'll be in D.C. for the month of March, and then it's off to a college in Ohio, and we're hoping to have the rest of the year mapped out.
Good. Thank you so much.
That's fantastic.
Well, if there's no more questions, it looks like we're coming to the end of our time. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us tonight. Are there any closing words from you, Peter, Mary?
Oh, I'd just like to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to us talk about our work. It really means a lot to us, and we really appreciate all of your participation and thoughts and ideas, so stay in touch.
Do you have email that we can directly contact? Yeah, and I could find
sure.
it on the website or...
Well, we're both, it's in AFSC, it's your first initial and then last name. So for
okay.
Peter, it would be P. Lems, and for me, it's M. Zirkel with a Z, and it's at AFSC.org.
Great. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I too want to just thank everybody for, A, making the time to join us and the support, and it means a lot to us. And to just say, I think one of the exciting issues that we're looking at and what I hope will be, a fruitful frontier in the next 6 months of the year is, can we, as part of a larger peace movement in this country, create an Iraq and Afghanistan syndrome that is as powerful as the way this country was repulsed by the war in Vietnam? The Vietnam syndrome means something, and some of the people responsible for that war were held accountable, and there were new laws that were passed so our government wouldn't assassinate leaders we didn't like. There were laws that were passed so that our president couldn't take us to war without Congress, and I think a lot of those laws were reversed in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, and I feel like the milieu we're in now, that has to be our ultimate goal, is to get back to where we once were as a country, to legislatively take responsibility for the wars that we fought and put in some restraints so that this doesn't happen again.
Excellent. Absolutely. Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Peter and Mary, for your expertise and your time. And please, everyone, visit afsc.org and sign up for the Wage Peace email. And thank you again for joining us.